Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this non-stop flight-free podcast service. Our flight time will be roughly 20 minutes. Please make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in their full upright position and that your seat belt is correctly fastened. But no need to set your mobile devices to airplane mode, that can stay off. We've been cleared to take off, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this flight-free podcast.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Flight Free 2020 podcast. We're going to be focusing on business travel this month, specifically in response to the pandemic. Now, a lot of the time when we talk to people about flying, they point to the stereotype of businessmen taking flights every week being the problem. But in fact, business flights only make up 10% of international flights from the UK, and that number has been fairly steady for the past 10 years or so. We have seen that number really plummet during COVID, along with all flights, but while we can expect flight numbers to rise again for holidays or visiting friends and family once the pandemic is over, it might be the case that the business world realises it can conduct the majority of its business online, as we have all been doing this year. Now, this might complicate things for airlines, because selling high-cost business class seats means that they can offer cheaper seats elsewhere. So it's a key part of their business model to keep the business world in the air. But there are many within the business world who think businesses rely on travel way too much, and Gopi Walker is one of them. Gopi is the CEO of an IT consultancy called Data Kraken, which was set up 6 years ago and now has clients and staff across three continents. But despite the international nature of Gopi's business, he has taken the flight-free pledge and in fact has decided that his whole business will be flight-free in 2021. We asked Gopi what inspired him to get involved in the flight-free campaign.
Well, I've always been passionate about the environment, and in fact, I've got an environmental science degree that I did about 17 odd years ago, and I've kind of always wanted to live a green lifestyle. But it was only until recently that I was aware about the significant impact that flying has on the environment. I actually saw Anna Hughes on BBC Breakfast one morning in 2019, and I was quite shocked by some of the stats she was coming out with regards to the impact that flying has on the environment, so much so that I decided to do some research, and it really opened my eyes, and I really couldn't go back to my old ways after understanding what those impacts were on the environment. In the way that Anna has inspired me to not fly, that also hopefully will inspire some other people who know me or might think that their lifestyles resonate slightly with mine, and might make them just think about it, and they might just change a couple of things that might not change anything at all, but just making people conscious of it is important. I mean, do I miss some of the things that flying allow me to do? Yep. Do I understand that there are places and people that I'm potentially never going to see again? Yeah. But ultimately, am I happy to sacrifice these things if it means that I'm part of a solution rather than a part of the problem? I would also say yes.
So it sounds like Gopi has really embraced the whole flight-free challenge from a personal point of view. So what about the business point of view? We discussed with Gopi how Data Kraken has had measures in place for a while now to reduce staff travel and why that's actually better for him and his staff.
From a work point of view, we've kind of always had processes in place to minimise unnecessary travel. COVID has really highlighted a lot of failings for a lot of businesses that have just had an unnecessary over-reliance on travel, in my opinion. When we created our solution for our clients in South America, we put it together so it would require a minimal amount of travel. If we hadn't have architected in that way, we would have lost a lot of time, money, and my staff would have spent a lot of unnecessary time being away from friends and family. Now, bearing in mind, I'm no saint. In 2005, I helped set up a company in Dublin, which involved me flying from London to Dublin every week for 6 months, flying out on a Monday, coming back on a Thursday. So, and I know the impact of flying isn't just environmental. I was unproductive pretty much from the time I left my home in Berkshire to my clients' offices in central Dublin, and that was about 5 hours. Cost-wise, flying, parking at the airport, petrol, taxis, they aren't cheap, certainly if you're doing it 20 times a year. And then finally, from a personal point of view, I ended up putting on over 10 kilos in weight due to the physical impact of living out of a suitcase and eating unhealthy. I cannot tell you how bad airports are. They are just horrific places. You can't get fit and healthy. There's not much natural light. The chairs are uncomfortable. You can't work there. They are just the most horrible places I can ever imagine. But most importantly, above all other things, the amount of stress that flying put on the relationship with my then partner was massive. And I want to ensure that my team don't have to go through any of these things, regardless of where we choose to have any of our clients across the world.
So while Flight Free UK is a climate change organisation trying to raise awareness of the climate impact of aviation, the benefits in stopping flying are not just about reducing emissions. Travelling without flying is a much less stressful and much more enriching way of travelling. And from a business point of view, train travel, for example, is much more productive than sitting on a plane. Or you can simply cut out that travel full stop. So while many people might not have the environment as their top priority, it's important to talk about the financial benefits and the efficiency benefits of travelling and flying less.
Well, from my point of view, there's a lot of inefficiency. I mean, I run a consultancy and that involves looking at efficiencies and what is efficient and what isn't. Flying and travelling to the airport and being at airports is dead time. You cannot run a business if you are constantly in and out of airports. It's tiring. There isn't an environment to work. It's difficult to collaborate. Certainly when you're on flights, the Wi-Fi is not there. And I've done it a lot. I've flown business class. I've flown first class. It is not as productive as being at your own desk or taking the train where you've got a big table where you can stretch your legs and you've got internet access. Those are my reasons as to why I just think economically, flying is the least favourite method that I would have for my staff and myself to travel.
So we've seen a massive boom in online interactions this year as we've all embraced the digital world to stay connected with our loved ones and to keep our businesses going. Being forced to move online has really kick-started improvements in those online platforms, and many of us have embraced the use of technology as an asset. Gopi explains which measures they've taken at Data Kraken to enable good online meetings. Unfortunately, he didn't take his own advice about the good quality microphone for this interview.
Now, there's lots of different things that we have done to mitigate face-to-face meetings with clients. I mean, we've got clients in London, but I think last year I travelled into London twice or three times. So it wasn't just flying. It was about how can you make that experience of meetings and collaborating with clients as effective as doing it face to face. And there were little things that we did. So first of all, HD camera. Laptops have got cameras on them and microphones on them by default, but they're a cursory part of a laptop. The most important thing you buy with a laptop is its memory and its RAM and, you know, its screen quality. What you don't buy it for is the camera and the microphone. So all of our members of staff have got HD cameras with fantastic microphones that they use to talk with clients. It might not seem like a small thing, but a fuzzy image and a crystal clear image makes a big difference. Also, we have digital whiteboards. So where you go into a meeting, in a face-to-face meeting, and you're in a meeting room and you're collaborating, and someone goes over to a whiteboard and starts doing a flow diagram or whatever, the same thing can be done digitally with a digital whiteboard, cost about 60 quid. But all of those different parts of a meeting, which you would do face to face, if you can understand what all those are and understand what is the requirement from a personal point of view and why does it need to be face to face and how can it be digitized, then you start coming up with these things. And it is about the good camera, it is about a good microphone, it is about digital whiteboards. I mean, there's another massive elephant in the room with regards to collaboration and business meetings, and it's bad project management and bad documentation. I've had so many meetings flying into places or traveling to places, a meeting where there's more than 5 or 10 people. That is purely because the project manager, whoever manages this, doesn't have the documentation or is terrible at management. Because you should not need to have all people in a physical room to get information to run a business efficiently. What you should be doing if you're a good project manager is understanding all of the different facets within your project and then deciphering and disseminating the information that each individual person needs to know. I don't need to sit in a meeting of 30 different people and fly for 3 or 4 hours for me to hear about 2% of my project. And unfortunately, that has happened to me so many times in my professional career. So we talk about not flying, but I would challenge businesses to go further and say, well, do I actually need to travel? And if you need to travel a lot as a business, I think it's an indictment of how badly your business manages your work stack, your business manages your work stack. That might sound controversial, but I would like to see someone explain exactly why I'm wrong in saying that.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm sure we'll get lots of emails to our inbox complaining.
And I'm sure you will. So Doodle, the poll company, they did a survey last year and they reckon $50 billion was lost in the UK economy in 2019 due to badly organised meetings. $50 billion. Now, every one of the people listening to this, if they can't say hand on heart, they haven't been in a meeting in the last week where at least 30 to 50% of that meeting was pointless on their behalf, I would say they were lying. Because I've spent so many years of my life in absolutely pointless meetings, and it all grounds down to the fact that there's bad documentation and there's bad project management. And what COVID has meant is businesses are having to adapt and collaborate digitally, and that requires them to actually work more efficiently, which for years I don't think they have.
So that's a really interesting stat from Doodle about money lost through badly organised meetings. Another stat says that around half of all flights taken are viewed as unnecessary by the people taking them. And that applies to the business world as well as the leisure world. So there are certainly some massive reductions we can make when it comes to flights and travel. However, in all of this, we can't forget the human element. In certain circumstances, meeting face-to-face is something that can't be replicated by other means. Having that connection in the flesh really does enhance your understanding of the other person and can make your working relationship much easier. You can't always replace that with an on-screen meeting. Now, according to Gopi, there are 4 ways in which the business world uses flights, and they are flying for a meeting, flying for client entertaining or networking, flying for conferences, and flying for training or teaching. Now, the meetings and training can both be done without travel or with minimal travel. Networking and conferences are not essential for businesses, but are very difficult to do without face-to-face conversations. So perhaps if we replace the majority of travel with interactions by other means, then we can keep those occasional in-person meetings for when they're really needed.
We do need to meet people and we do need to collaborate. And from a business point of view, networking is massive. I think it's really important. And I don't think digital networking is anywhere near as efficient as meeting face-to-face. I don't think my business would have been as successful if I hadn't met a lot of people on that journey. Face-to-face, taking them to the pub, and they might just not seem that important. But that network element really does benefit a lot of different people, and I don't think that can be replicated. What I do say is that if that was done once or twice a year and you needed to fly for it, that is understandable. But with regards to training, for instance, a lot of that could be done online, and with the right documentation, as I say, that could be helped. Collaboration within meetings and understanding how projects are working, that doesn't need to be face-to-face. But there are certain elements of travel, certainly in the business environment, that are totally crucial. And I would say networking is one.
Now, there's a perception that if you travel a lot as a businessman, that's a measure of your success. Perhaps now is the time to burst that bubble, not just for the sake of the climate and emissions, but for the sake of people too.
Ultimately, pretty much most of the people I've met in the corporate world across the world are exactly the same as us. They want to spend more time with their friends and family. Work is important, but work-life balance is more important. So yeah, there's TV shows and there's Hollywood movies about, you know, people working 60, 70-hour weeks and the American dream and so on and so forth. But that isn't the majority of pretty much everyone that I've met. People just want to be with the people they love and do things that with the people they love. And there's no mystery with that. Just because they're in South America, they're not some sort of alien concept where I've got to go there and understand, oh my God, they do this and they do that. And I feel a bit alien because I'm from Europe and this is a completely different culture. Whether obviously I've got staff in Asia, whether I've been in South America, I've lived in New Zealand for a year, everyone's exactly the same. They just want to have a good work-life balance and spend time with the people that they love. There's no big mystery to it. And as soon as you understand this concept of the 7 billion people on the planet, 6.9 billion of them are just normal people like you and I who want the same things, you don't have to go out your way to go and see them. They would understand that if you flew out to South America, that you're going to be spending time away from your friends and family. They understand that in the same way that if they flew over to the UK, we understand it's difficult for them as much as they're, you know, kind of on, well, they're working, but they're on holiday. So I think there's this human element of running a business and flying with a business that a lot of people don't want to fly. The business makes it a necessity. I think the airline industries have made it glamorous, which I don't think it is. So one would hope that if businesses do start to actually talk to their staff about whether they want to travel, I think they'll overwhelmingly get told that they don't want to do it and they want to embrace a more digital culture within the business so they don't have to travel, whether that be flying or any other different mode of transport.
And that brings us to the end of the interview. It has been a really good insight into the business world, and it's great to talk to Gopi and hear from a previous frequent flyer about the practical ways that we can replace travel with digital technology. He wanted us to make sure it came across just how much he dislikes airports. What's that, Gopi?
I cannot tell you how bad airports are. They are just horrific places.
So, there we go. You can read a write-up of this interview on our website, and you can also follow in Gopi's footsteps and sign up for a Flight Free 2021 there too. Thanks for listening and see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seatbelt sign indicates we're coming to the end of our journey. Don't forget to take your duty-free items with you. We have some excellent tweets and inspiring Instagram posts at Flight Free 2020. Or how about our Facebook page, Flight Free UK, and our website is always available, www.flightfree.co.uk. We've been clear to land, so on behalf of the Flight Free podcast service, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to welcoming you on board again next month.